The Republican National Convention is over, and Donald Trump is now the official GOP presidential nominee. Going into this past week, the Trump campaign, the Republican Party, and a variety of players had goals and concerns to address and deal with. The foundation also had to be laid for the way that the Trump campaign would battle Hillary Clinton. Here with his analysis, having survived the week on the scene, from the Washington Examiner is their campaign reporter, Ryan Lovelace. Thanks for being here, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
And WashingtonExaminer.com to learn, read more of Ryan's work, and they're great journalists. So the goals of a convention typically are one or two key points. In this case, was it to, above and beyond presenting the nominee, were they really looking to knock as many fence sitters into Trump's yard this past week?
Absolutely. I think they were really looking to unite the party. I think a lot of the fence sitters that they were looking at this week were within their own party, not so much yet independent voters, although there was a very obvious appeal to them, too. You could see this was all about a presentation to make Trump known to some of these voters who look at him as a character or look at him as the reality television star that they saw nightly on NBC and those sorts of things. But really, I think this was an opportunity for them to try to look at the Republican Party and see the different warring factions, the Cruz supporters that can't stand Trump, the Kasich supporters that couldn't stand Trump, the Never Trump, anti-Trump factions, and do different things to try to bring them into the fold, whether it was using people like Paul Ryan or people like Mike Pence. And I think that was their goal here. And I think judging by the reaction to a lot of what was going on out there, talking to delegates on the floor, it sounds like they made quite a bit of movement in that regard.
It's almost where it harks back to Nixon 68. Nixon basically ran on the idea of, you might not like me, but you need me. Is that similar to what Trump is doing?
I think so. That's certainly his pitch to some of these Cruz voters, especially people like in the Utah delegation and elsewhere, that were very frustrated with it. And, I watched that Ted Cruz speech the other night on Wednesday night when he got quite a bit of boos from the Trump folks. And it was interesting to see him come out on Thursday morning. He came out to the Texas delegation, and he actually just stood up in front of the room and took questions in a breakfast in a hotel downtown and allowed anybody to shout out questions at him. And there was one woman whose name was Geraldine Sam. She's a mayor and a delegate. And she told him, look, I was for you coming in. I'm a Cruz delegate, but going out, I'm a Trump supporter, and I want you to be there, too. And you've got to hold your word and the rest of it. So I think he successfully converted a bunch of people that going into it wouldn't have ever been going along with him. But he said, look, this is the time. It's either me or Hillary. It's a binary choice. And I think they succeeded in a large regard to getting people at the Republican convention to buy in. Now, how it's perceived on TV is going to be very different, too. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not Trump gets that bump that you usually get coming out of a convention to put him up further. The Democratic convention's coming up soon, too. So how much of a time period between these two things will we be able to see any movement in the polls is hard to know. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not people watching on TV have a different impression than those Republicans in the room who are now more comfortable with him.
Typically, especially in 08 and in 2012, we saw the RNC convention sort of build to the crescendo. And, certainly Trump's speech, an hour, I think it was an hour and 42 minutes long, was, and by the way, NBC fact-checked it, and except for a couple of nuances, he was pretty much on the mark as far as factually is concerned. But Monday night seemed to be a powerful teeing up of everything, and was Monday really a sense of what the tenor of the campaign is going to be against Hillary?
I think it will be. I think Monday night really showed that this is the way in which he plans to prosecute the case against Clinton that Republicans were saying they don't feel has been made by the Obama administration or others, in the media and the rest of it. That's the thing that they've been going after. Monday night we saw a lot of talk about Benghazi and things like that. And I think that was kind of the evolution of the convention, was to kind of show the different ways in which they're going to go after Clinton, the ways in which they want to unite their own party, and then the message that Donald Trump has for America. And, like you're saying, when, his speech was fact-checked, the interesting thing about it is they put the whole speech out online and has a couple of hundred footnotes in it. I think it has something like 282, that it's more than 200. So people that can go in and actually look at it point by point and see, not only if they agree or disagree with what he's saying, but see the basis for what he's making his argument on.
All right, Ryan Lovelace, who is their campaign reporter for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com on the web. You are listening to Issues and Ideas. Through his speech, how much of an asset did Mike Pence prove himself to be this past week?
I think he proved himself to be quite a tremendous asset. It was interesting because of the timing of his speech. It was purposefully placed, after Ted Cruz had gotten up there and gotten quite an angry response. He had kind of, sparked some division there because people, when they heard him talk about voting your conscience, that harkened back in their minds to this fight over the rules going into the convention about unbinding delegates. There was talk of a conscience clause, and I think a lot of people heard that and thought that that was part of him leading a not-so-subtle insurrection. And regardless of whether or not it was, Mike Pence came out after an introduction by Paul Ryan, who has been, reluctantly supporting Trump, and Pence kind of gave a full-throated endorsement speech. It was different than Trump. It was self-deprecating. It was purposefully humble at times to kind of, be the yin-yang situation there. And I think there are a number of voters that are more comfortable with Mike Pence. Talking to Governor Branstad, who stayed out of the primary, he told me on the convention floor earlier this week that, he thinks Mike Pence is the perfect pick. It was exactly what they needed, a Midwestern governor with conservative credentials, and he thought it was going to be hugely helpful to the people of Iowa who went for Cruz to finally get behind Trump.
Thinking back again to the 2012 campaign and the convention, Ann Romney came out and sort of humanized, or at least tried to humanize, Mitt Romney, and pretty much mission unaccomplished in that case. If you look at Ivanka Trump's speech the other night, how many points did that score, and how many fence sitters do you think that would have knocked off into Trump's yard?
It'll be interesting to see. It's hard to know at this point just yet, but she definitely did an interesting job of portraying her husband her father, as someone that wasn't just the businessman that everyone has heard about, not just the showman that everyone has seen, but also this caretaker that not only took care of her, but also showed her how to become the businesswoman that she is. And I think that's very interesting for people to see. Now, I know she also kind of introduced some different policy proposals and things that we haven't heard before from Trump himself or the Trump campaign. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not this speech that she gave will be the beginning of her becoming a top surrogate for the campaign, where she could be reading out policy proposals and things. It certainly seems like she's about to get more involved with it. She has been steadily growing her involvement with it already, doing different appearances and things on the campaign trail. But now this could be the point at which Trump's family really gets out there in front of him and tries to help him make that case. And she will probably be his foremost surrogate from within his inner circle.
Which is not a surprise. His wife, Melania, basically says, I'm along for the ride. Melania is going to be, I think, more somewhere between a Jackie Kennedy and a Pat Nixon as far as involvement and FaceTime is concerned. She's the reluctant prospective first lady.
Right, right. And I think, that's understandable, too, because she does have, they have a small child. He's still 10 years old or so. And so he's young, and I think that kind of makes sense for why she's looking at it that way. Perhaps if it was a different time, it might be different for her. And I know in interviews that she's given and things that she said publicly, she has talked about how, she's more interested in staying away from the campaign trail side of things, but she's obviously fully supportive behind him. And really the Trump brand that people know, especially people that watch the Apprentice TV show, they'll know Ivanka. They'll know Eric Trump and others. And I think it makes sense in a way for people to be hearing about Trump from people that they recognize. And while Melania is certainly very recognizable, the people that they saw night after night on that show were people within Trump's family, they're his children.
Now, obviously, the Democrats, Hillary Clinton campaign will be and have been totally dismissive of this past week. But if they were going to look at this past week honestly, what concerns for their side of the ballot did this past week raise for them, do you think?
I think what it's going to do is cause them to rethink, the kind of narrative that they want to have coming out of their own campaign, especially during their convention, especially with their vice presidential pick and things like that. Because they've heard the case that Trump and others made during the convention. They heard lots of chants of lock her up from the Republican delegation. They heard the anger there and a lot of that. So I think one of the things that you'll probably hear from Clinton during the convention that you might not have heard had the Republican convention not gone the way it did is a lot of talk about the hatred and anger of Republicans. I'm sure she'll say, you know, they were literally calling for me to be jailed and imprisoned and murdered and the rest of it. You know, they were sending out fundraising pitches throughout the entire Republican convention. You know, some of them with the just shock headline Lucifer and saying they're literally calling for Clinton to be murdered, donate now kind of a thing. So I expect her to really push that narrative when she's on stage, saying the other side is full of hate and we're full of love. And she'll go with her love Trump's hate slogan that she's been using even throughout her Democratic primary campaign against Bernie Sanders.
And that party will start on Monday. He is the campaign reporter for the Washington Examiner. On the web, it's WashingtonExaminer.com. Ryan Lovelace, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.